There's something very important happening tonight, and I hope you can be here tonight. It's something that happens every Sunday night at 6 o'clock. And that is, the Lord's people meet here and we worship, we study, we fellowship, we learn. And we do that every Sunday night for a number of reasons, but certainly our community needs to know that we consider our faith to be important. And of course, one of the ways, not the only way, one of the ways we show that is by our gathering together to do just what we said we were going to do. So that constancy, they see us every week meeting, it means something. It's very important. Sunday nights, of course, we've been studying the creation of the world. We've been looking at Genesis chapters 1 and 2. Foundation, that is the foundation of the whole Bible. You take away Genesis 1 and 2, much of the rest of the Bible has very little meaning. So it's critical that we know, understand, and believe, have faith in what is written in those first two chapters of the Bible. And I hope you'll be able to be back tonight at 6 o'clock. On Sunday mornings, we've been studying from Hebrews chapter 11, that great hall of faith chapter, where we read about men and women whose faith led them to obey. They trusted God's promises, they believed in those promises, and they acted upon those promises. And as a result, those men and women have received God's approval. They've been accepted by Him, and they have been rewarded. This morning, the particular text we want to look at in Hebrews chapter 11 is verses 13 through 16. Hebrews chapter 11, verses 13 through 16. This is about the faith of the patriarchs. Remember, the patriarchs were the ones who were the heads of the family, the ones whom God spoke to directly. People like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, but many others as well. And it's their faith in particular that we're looking at and focusing on this morning in these four verses. So hopefully you have your Bibles and follow along. And we'll note, number one, what kind of faith the patriarchs had, and number two, the reward that God promised them. So their faith and their reward. Let's read these four verses. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better, that is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared a city for them. The first thing we want to notice here about the faith of the patriarchs is they understood that this world was not their home. They understood that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. They knew that this world was not going to be their permanent abode, that they were just passing through. Their belief in that and their faith in that led them to always be looking toward the next life, the heavenly country that they were searching for. So they embraced the fact that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. This heavenly country, though, was not something they could physically see, and neither can we. We cannot go outside, we cannot look in a book and see physically the heavenly country. It is something we can only see by faith. That's the only way we can see the heavenly country. Now, we can go out in the world and see this world, but as the song says, this world is not my home. I'm a stranger and pilgrim in this world, and so are you. I'm a sojourner. I'm here for a very short while, and while I'm here, I'm always looking to that heavenly unseen city, that heavenly country, just like those patriarchs were. And the Bible says very specifically that those men and women did not receive those promises on earth. Did you see what that said? It says they did not receive the promises, but they saw them afar off and were assured of them. Think about the promises given just to Abraham. Think about the promises God told Abraham about. The new land, the promised land. He told him about the seed that would come through him. He was told about this great nation. And yet, none of those things Abraham saw. Not a single one. So, Abraham could only receive those promises by faith. How did he receive them by faith? Well, he received them by faith because God told him those things would happen. And number two, he trusted God. That's how he received them by faith. Now think about all those amazing promises, and yet Abraham physically on earth didn't receive any of them. Not a one. And of course those promises were given to Isaac and then to Jacob, those same promises, and yet Isaac and Jacob didn't receive those promises on earth either. The only way they could receive them was by faith. They never saw those things. We can't see the heavenly country. The only way that we can receive that is by faith, just like the patriarchs. The patriarchs' faith could be described in a number of ways, I suppose. But the promises that they saw from afar, they didn't see physically, but they saw them with their heart, they saw them with their mind. And it was the promise of a heavenly country. Their faith was a growing faith. It says they embraced them and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. The Greek word there for embraced brings with it the idea of greeting, welcoming, and being thankful for. When we maybe see someone that we haven't seen in a while and we embrace them, what we're doing is we're greeting them, we're welcoming them, and we're being thankful that we see them, that we're getting to be with them. That's how the patriarchs embraced those promises. They greeted them. They welcomed them. They were thankful for them. Abraham and Isaac and Jacob were thankful for the promises God made to them, that through them He would make a great nation, that through them the seed would come, that through them they would receive the promised land. They were thankful for those promises. I think that tells us a lot about how we need to be as well. We need to understand that we are pilgrims, that we're strangers, that we're sojourners, that our citizenship is not in this world, therefore we shouldn't be living for this world. We need to be thinking about the next life and being thankful that God has promised it to us. You know, throughout the Old Testament, we see time and again people proclaiming to be sojourners, pilgrims, travelers. Let's look at a few of those. In Psalms 39, verse 12, the psalmist makes a very similar statement. Psalms 39, verse 12. This is considered to be a psalm of David. Notice what David says in Psalms 39, 12. David says, "Hear my prayer, O Lord, and give ear to my cry. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a stranger with you, a sojourner as all my fathers were." All my fathers, all my ancestors were sojourners with God. Think about how those were sojourners that went through the wilderness. They were sojourning with God. Remember God's presence in the tabernacle. His presence in the Ark of the Covenant. They were sojourning with God. In this world, that's how we need to feel. We need to feel that this world is not our home. God doesn't want us to live here forever. He's prepared a place for us. Just like He told them, He had prepared a place for them, He's prepared a place for us. But the only way we can receive it is by faith. We can't see it, we can't feel it, we can't touch it, we can't smell it, we can't taste it. But we can receive it by faith. That's what he tells us, and that's what he wants from us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, we're given the same picture of who we are in this world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. Peter writes this, "Beloved, I beg you as sojourners and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conduct honorable among the Gentiles, that when they speak against you as evildoers, they may, by your good works, which they observe, glorify God in the day of visitation." Peter is telling them, I beg you, as sojourners and pilgrims. He says, this world is not your home. Don't give in to the lusts and passions of this world. Always be looking toward that heavenly land. That's what he says. You and I are strangers and pilgrims. That's why we shouldn't store up treasures for ourselves in this world, because this ends in our home. When people when they move a lot, maybe they rent a house or rent an apartment, but they know they're going to be moving soon, do they spend a lot of money on that? Of course not. Do they store up a lot of things for that? Of course not. Why? Because they know it's temporary. They know they're only going to be there a short while. Well, that's what we're told here. We are strangers, sojourners, pilgrims. This is not our home. We're only here temporarily. We're renters, I guess you might say. This isn't our home. Jesus says there is a home, and he says you need to be sending treasures onto it. That's where we need to be sending treasures. Not in this world, because this isn't our home. We're just being here for a very short while. Even if we're here 100 years, that's a pretty short while. Regardless of how long we're here, it's temporary. We will leave this world. We will leave it. And this world, 2 Peter chapter 3 says, will be destroyed. And everything in it will be destroyed. The houses we've lived in here, the cars we've had here, all of that, gone. But what we send on toward that heavenly country will be there waiting for us. The patriarchs also had a faith that didn't just sit around and wait. What did the patriarchs do? When they were promised something, those promises usually had a condition on them, didn't they? Abraham's promise, first of all, was conditioned upon the fact, Abraham, you've got to leave that country, your homeland, and come to where I'm telling you to go. That was a huge thing to ask of Abraham. But what did Abraham do? Gathered up his stuff and left. So his faith didn't just believe, his faith acted. He obeyed God. So did the other patriarchs, and so must ours. That's the kind of faith you and I have to have. If it's not that kind of faith, it's not the kind of faith worth having. Their faith caused them to stick to it. Abraham was called out of that country, and he lived for many years, and he kept enduring, even though he never saw those promises realized in this world. He kept on going. He kept on believing, kept on trusting, kept on obeying, even though he didn't see the fulfillment of those promises. He kept on anyway. That's the kind of faith you and I must have. He didn't go back and think about the past. See, our verse says, "And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country." Abraham didn't sit and think about everything he had left. Didn't sit and think about the friends he had left behind or whatever he had left behind. He didn't sit and think about that. He was going forward. He was thinking about a heavenly country. He was thinking about God's promises. He wasn't about to go back, because the country he was headed to, he said, was far, far better. So the patriarchs kept going. They kept enduring. They kept doing what God asked them to do. regardless of what direction it was leading them, they kept going because they knew God was doing what was best for them. As a result of that, the patriarchs were rewarded in two separate ways. The first way they were rewarded was God was not ashamed to be called their God. God accepted them because they had a faith that worked. And it's interesting that God is not ashamed to be called their God. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived over 4,000 years ago. And when this was written in the first century, they had been alive over 2,000 years. And they were still alive. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they're still alive. We know that. Remember, Jesus talked with some of them, didn't he? Thousands of years after their bodies were placed in the grave, they were still alive. So God is still their God after all this time. They are still living. The Bible confirms that. They're still alive. And God still approves of them. It's wonderful to have men's approval. I know most of us naturally want people to approve of us. But like Peter said, what's not important is people's approval, it's God's approval. And if you have God's approval, that's the only one that's important. God will not ask us on the day of judgment how many people approved of what we did and if we were accepted by people. That will never be brought up. It's simply going to be, did God approve of us? Did God accept us? That's what's important. Well, the patriarchs understood that. And because of how they lived, it said God was not ashamed to be called their God. And remember, they're still alive. In Acts chapter 10, we have a similar statement. Acts chapter 10, and we'll read verse 35. Acts chapter 10, verse 35. This is Peter, and Peter says in verse 35, in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. There's that same word. Is accepted by him. Who is that? The one who fears, reveres, worships God, and works righteousness. Does what he says. Follows him, is accepted by God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, a few more pages on over in your Bible, you come to this statement. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning in verse 6. Paul writes this. So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we're absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Therefore, we make it our aim, whether present or absent, to be well-pleasing to Him. What did Paul say? This is our goal. Our goal is to be found well-pleasing to God. That's our goal in life. From the moment we get up in the morning till the moment we go to bed at night, our goal should be to live in such a way that we're well-pleasing in God's sight. Everything we do, everything we say, everywhere we go, we should live and act and do whatever so that God accepts us. We receive His approval because it's His approval that matters. The other reward they received was the promised land. God had prepared a place for them, but it was a heavenly place. It was a heavenly place. In Matthew chapter 25, Jesus talks about this very thing. Matthew chapter 25, notice verse 34. Matthew 25, verse 34. This is a scene where Jesus comes back. He separates the sheep from the goats. Verse 33, He'll set the sheep on His right hand and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on His right hand, come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. These people were looking for that heavenly kingdom. The patriarchs were. The people during the days of the law of Moses were looking for a heavenly country. We're looking for a heavenly country. And Jesus in John chapter 14, we studied this a number of weeks ago, in John chapter 14, verse 1, Jesus says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me." You trusted in God, trust in me. "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Jesus said, "I have prepared a place for you. It's going to be ready when you are." And he says, "I'm leaving, but I'm going to come back and take you to the place that I've prepared." But it's for only those people who believed his promises, trusted in his promises, and obeyed those promises, obeyed what he has said. Those are the ones. You know, on the day of judgment, there's not going to be a single person that says there is no God. Not a single person will ever say that. The most ardent, devout atheist that have ever lived on the day of judgment will know for certain that there's a God. It'll be too late for them, but they'll know. On the day of judgment, there will not be a single person that says, "It doesn't make any difference what kind of religion you've had." Won't be a single person say that, because they will know for certain whether they have followed God as He desired. Did they follow? Did they trust Him? Did they follow Him? Did they obey Him? They will know. They'll know there's a God, and they'll also know how they've spent their lives. Because they'll know whether they've been accepted by Him or not. It'll be a sad day for a lot of people, but it'll be a joyous day for others. Those people who realize they were sojourners and strangers and pilgrims in the world, they'll be thankful that they didn't put their treasures in this world, but they planned for the next. That they lived their lives looking for the heavenly country. They will be thankful on that day that they endured to the end. That they believed God, they trusted God, and they followed God. They will be forever thankful that they welcomed, they embraced those promises. Those promises are valid today. We must believe in God and follow Him. Not follow our desires, not follow what we want, but follow what He has said. And when He says that we must believe in Him, that we must repent, turn our lives over to Him, that we must confess Him, and that we must be immersed, we must be buried, like Romans 6 says, in water for the forgiveness of our sins, we will not only believe that, but we'll act upon it, we'll obey that. And when He says He will forgive us of our sins, we believe that He will truly do that. Not that He might do it or maybe will do it, but He will do it. We do need to have the faith of those patriarchs. This morning, David is leading us in an invitation song. He's inviting us to do what's right. He's inviting us to obey God. And if you need to do that this morning, we encourage and urge you to come as we stand and sing this song.